And greetings, welcome to The Dividing Line on a Thursday afternoon. It was over a week ago that I had the interesting experience of being on the Dr. Drew show on CNN's HLN. I sort of on, if you can call being on for like 2 minutes being on. Certainly wasn't invited on to have a serious discussion about anything. That's painfully obvious. Evidently, I was the the token religious person to be laughed at, I guess. I was told by the producer that they wanted a spiritual insight into the issue, but it became very clear very, very quickly that that wasn't the case whatsoever. After the program, and we played a week ago today, we played Jeff Durbin's mix of what happened on the program. But after the program, there was about 3 minute after show video that was done. And of course, I wasn't told about that, wasn't invited on that. And of course, during the program, a shot was taken at me. Insulting, offensive shot was taken. I wasn't even given the opportunity of responding to it. So evidently, these folks are so incredibly insecure in their position that what they want to do is they want to bring on a Christian, don't let him speak, and then once he's gone, take further shots when he can't defend himself later on. Now, I would feel hypocritical in responding now if I had not extended, not only via Facebook, but through written correspondence to the producer of the program, and through speaking to the producer of the program on the phone, an open invitation to everyone on that panel to join us on The Dividing Line. And we would demonstrate what real conversation is, what real debate is, how to show respect to other people by actually letting them develop a point, interacting with what they're really saying. What we're about to watch in the after show video is really educational in that it illustrates that people who will speak very vociferously and very frequently about being inclusive and being open and we can't discriminate and no one should be bigots can be the least inclusive, close-minded, discriminatory, bigoted people on the planet. And that is the essence of the culture that we find ourselves in today, the level of hypocrisy. And I'm using old, maybe I need to come up with a new phraseology. I'm using old America terms, not new America terms. I'm using old speak. There we go. Let's not come up with new something. Let's go with the established language of George Orwell, who rightly in 1984 saw what was coming and predicted it, even down to attacks upon the family. In fact, I was looking at 1984 just recently, last week, over the weekend, actually, and I had forgotten the section where they were talking about specifically breaking the bond between parents and children and so that the state can have total control over the citizen from birth to death. And that was right there in 1949 when he wrote it, and downright prophetic. That's exactly what's going on today. So anyway, what we're hearing in this after show type stuff is just amazing to me. And in fact, one of the participants, Erica Holden, I believe is her name, Erica America, on Twitter is a young woman with a master's degree in psychotherapy. She's not a doesn't have a doctorate. She has a master's degree, and she just basically is a gadfly there in New York who goes from program to program and does her thing. She was the one that tried to project onto me fear. But it's funny to me, if we're the ones that would be open to having them on and having meaningful debate and giving enough time, and they're the ones shouting me down and then having to do further damage shots after I can't even respond, who's the fearful one? And when what I said is completely misrepresented, and massive projection takes place, who's really the fearful individual here? I think it's pretty obvious what the case on that is. So I wanted to respond to this. It was posted on Facebook, but I wanted to let a little time pass to make it primarily educational. Most people saw it. In fact, I didn't spend a lot of time looking at the comments, but most of the comments I saw were from Christians who were going, "You people are a bunch of hypocrites. You bring somebody on, you don't let them say more than two sentences in a row, you shout them down, and then pat yourselves on the back for your bias and your bigotry. What's that all about?" So, people saw it. People saw it for what it was and recognized it for what it was. I did tweet out just a few moments ago to all of those individuals. Well, I didn't tweet out to the guy. The guy on the panel was just there as comic relief anyways. I mean, he threw a few things out, but I suppose Mike Schechter or something like that. I forget who it was, but I didn't include him. But I did include the two young ladies and Dr. Drew in the list. So let's take a listen to what they had to say, and then sort of take it apart bit by bit. Here's the after show video from Dr. Drew on HLN from last week.
So
Oh.
Kate's away again, so I didn't catch the ship. Mike here,
Okay,
so it's the
yeah.
after show.
Okay.
But obviously, we're gonna keep talking about Caitlyn Jenner. The conversation I thought was the most complicated of any I've seen on television, which sort of concerns me because it's
So many
hard to,
layers.
so many layers,
There's
it's
so
hard to
many
digest
layers.
these things on TV. But the one thing that we didn't really get into, it's a hard thing to talk about, was that religious issue that we end up just kind of fighting about.
Right.
Why didn't we get into it? I mean, because we had to get to the segment on super gluing teeth in the head. You had all the time in the world for the transsexual in the front row to talk about how everybody else who disagrees with him, her, whatever, are bigots and patriarchy and all the rest of that kind of stuff. Dr. Drew, if you want to have a serious conversation, how about having just enough people to actually allow for a conversation? I mean, let's be honest. What you want on your program are sound bites. You don't want conversations. That's your audience. That's the audience you're shooting for. You're not shooting for my audience. You're not shooting for the people in this program. On this program, we will spend an entire hour on one single topic. It actually requires people to have an attention span more than 39 seconds. And yet, for most modern American media, you don't even try to reach people who have an attention span that goes beyond that. You don't even bother. Because you know there's a hundred and, well, I don't know how many thousands, hundreds, thousands of channels there are. I don't know. I've never even looked at what I have. I just need to be able to make sure to see the Tour de France. That's honestly the only reason I ever got cable was so that I could see the Tour de France and right now the Criterium du Dauphiné and the Tour de Suisse and yeah, I'm a cycling fan. So that, but I don't even know how many others are. So I understand you've got competitors, and if you go past like 30 seconds without tickling the ears, but the problem is, then you should recognize you shouldn't bother to try to address meaningful issues Because meaningful issues can't be addressed in 30 seconds. That's the problem we have in our society today, is this kind of madness that you actually think that this was a, you even said on the program that you thought this was a in-depth discussion. I'm just like, really? Popping little jokes from the one guy and this kind of stuff. This is in-depth discussion. I don't know that you know what in-depth discussion is, if you can describe it in that way, because it wasn't even close to in-depth discussion.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight, because I do want, you know, James and I got into it, and I don't want to.
Sam, you and I did not get into it. You cut me off. You attacked me personally, and we never had any meaningful exchange on anything. You just simply said, "Well, I'm a Christian, or I'm spiritual, but I don't believe that." There was no interaction. Do you really think that's interaction? I mean, I dared to quote the words of Jesus. I dared quote the words of Jesus. And the immediate reaction was just, well, what I did, and I know I did this purposefully. If you quote the words of Jesus in the very center of the high temple of secular humanism, which is the, you know, cable news, CNN, HLN, et cetera, et cetera, you're going to get a violent counter-reaction. But Sam, it's because of your rebellion against the Jesus of Scripture. That's what it is. And at least I'll tell you that straight up. You are in rebellion against your creator. You don't get to decide. We're going to have the other young lady say that we get to decide these things. No, if God has spoken, we don't get to decide. We're the creatures. He's the creator. His word goes, we don't get to countermand him. So we didn't have an interaction. I'd like to have one. I'd like to hear what you actually believe, because at times it's interesting. I was on with Jeff Durbin today on and I was very honored to be the first guest on the new Apollo Gia TV, as I like to correct them. And we went over a lot of this stuff. And so I think you're going to enjoy that. They even had a special guest on for me that I didn't know about. So I won't say anything more about that, because I don't want to ruin the surprise. But they did have a really neat special guest on that joined us for a few minutes in the program. I guess they do a half hour program that everyone will see, and then if you subscribe, then you can get the hour long follow up. Is how they're doing it. So I'm not sure when that all is going to be up, but I think it's still at apologiaradio.com. But I did have a little fun pointing out that even in their logo, the gamma appears a number of times, that they know how to properly pronounce when it's there, just not when it's in their own name. So I had fun with that. Anyways, getting back to the subject, apologize for that. One of the things I noticed today on Apologia Radio was, when you listen to the audio of our conversation, there were things that were said to me that I could never hear because I was on Skype. And, you know, at one point, Dr. Drew said, what clash of worldviews? Well, I would love to have heard that and responded to that, but I couldn't. I couldn't hear it because of just the way things were set up, and, you know, it didn't come across on Skype because I was speaking and so on and so forth. I'd love to have a conversation about those things, but Sam, we did not have an interaction. We didn't have an argument. You shouted me down. You took unfair shots, but we didn't have any meaningful exchange.
Respect someone else's belief. Like, I came from a very Christian upbringing. I have a lot of people in my family that are very religious. But here's the thing. I'm also surrounded with these people that are Christian that are also very accepting and loving.
Okay, which is supposed to be the Christian attitude,
yeah, and
right?
That's what I want.
Just a second. Accepting and loving of what? Sin? Why do you call someone Christian who is accepting and loving of something that Jesus died on a cross for. Sam, could Dr. Drew, could you answer that? How is it that you seem to insist, and you said this in the program, Sam, that I am to be loving when you won't discuss what loving means from a biblical perspective? Do you know what loving means? I can guarantee you something, both Sam and Dr. Drew, loving from a biblical perspective is not what your worldview says is loving. God's love resulted in the cross, that bloody instrument of horrific death and self-sacrifice. That's what God's love resulted in. Because you see, what you seem to be missing is that God's love coexists with his holiness and his righteousness. You can't separate that out. And so the same loving God that brought about the cross likewise brought judgment against sin over and over again in the same Bible that tells us about the love of God in Christ in the cross. And so there were individuals, entire cities, indeed entire nations that God brought his judgment against. Same God. And many Christians make the mistake of not having a balanced biblical view of the love of God either, because they look at the cross and they say, oh, look at the love of God. But what they don't see is that the background to that is the wrath of God against sin. And if you don't see the wrath of God in the cross, then you're not really seeing the love of God either. You're seeing just a little portion of what's actually there. So when you say loving and accepting of what? If I love what nailed Jesus to the cross, how can you say I love Jesus? Should I not, in fact, hate what nailed Jesus to the cross? What he had to take in his own body upon the tree to bring about my peace with God? Should I not hate that? So you need to be careful, because you may be asking Christians to love that which God hates. Does your God hate anything? My God hates evil. He hates injustice. So does your God hate evil and injustice? Has your God even spoken with enough clarity for you to know what evil and injustice is? Or is that just up to you and I to decide just for ourselves? We have our own little truth, and that's what I'd like to know. So when you call for Christians to be loving, I just have to ask you, have you thought through what that means to be loving from a Christian perspective? Are you actually calling Christians to love that which God himself hates? Question that I would love to ask, and you'd be welcome to come on the program and we could have a discussion of it. It would be a fair discussion. It would be a biblically based discussion.
But this fellow, James, was going into this notion that everybody's created perfectly and the male and female concept is perfect.
Where did I say that? I said, what if Jesus was right when he said that from the beginning God made them male and female? That's what I said. Now listen to Dr. Drew retranslate that into something that he can try to, well, evidently reject. Dr. Drew, do you believe Jesus said those words? And if so, why do you put them in my mouth when I was quoting Jesus? I said nothing about perfection. What I said was that God has an intention in creating men male and female, and that it is not our right to determine on our own that God got it wrong. I did say that, and I'll stand by that. We do not have that right. We do not have that power. We do not have that capacity or ability to overthrow God's creative decree. And the result of so doing is not a new woman, but an emasculated man. It is not a new man, but a masculinated woman, depending on which direction you're going. And so why do you get this idea that I was talking about perfection? I believe we live in a fallen world. I believe that I, as a man, have failed to be the man that I should be as a father, as a husband, as a son. That's what it means to live in a fallen world. And that's the same for every woman, too. Every Christian woman recognizes she's not been the daughter or the mother or the wife in perfection. But that doesn't mean that we then throw out those categories and decide, well, we'll just be whatever we want to be. We'll get to define the standards for ourselves. How does that follow? And why, on the basis of less than 2 minutes of speech, do you think you have the right or even the ability to interpret my position? I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, just on a personal level, it was incredibly disrespectful of you all to invite somebody on and assume you know exactly what it is they mean. You did not even realize that you had a Christian minister on who not only has learned the biblical languages, but of all the people I know very few people who have read as many books presenting the homosexual perspective as I have. There are people who've read more, God bless them, but not many. Not many. I've been dealing with the subject for a long, long time. I started dealing with the subject when your two young lady panelists were not even 10 years of age. Maybe even before they were born. I don't know how old they are. But the point is, you had somebody on who could have actually provided some kind of meaningful insight, but you did not choose to utilize that insight because that's not why I was there. But it is incredibly arrogant, sir, and incredibly offensive for you to assume. I mean, do you not see the patronization of your attitude toward Christians? You just know what Christians are believing. Sam's about to do the same thing. Oh, well, actually, our guest has written over 2 dozen books and actually has written a book on this subject, done numerous public debates against, you know, people like Justin Lee of the Gay Christian Network and Bishop John Shelby Spong and Brian... not Brian Lynch. He was the American atheist. What? Well, it did D. Bradshaw, but the ACLU guy. Barry Lynn. You could have made something of all of that, but you didn't even bother to know that. I mean, it's another instance where the liberal secular humanist doesn't even Google. Doesn't even take the time to Google. You just throw it out there, and it's because you assume Christians have nothing meaningful to say. If you want someone who's actually going to take the time to listen to the other side and interact with it meaningfully, you better find a Christian. Because we seem to be the only ones to do it. Isn't that weird? I wonder who's really afraid of whom when, well, okay, we've already covered that one, haven't we?
He said you would go to hell. Basically,
anyone who's listened to the program knows that the word hell was never even mentioned. But Sam, anyone who remains in rebellion against the God who made them, who gave them life, who gives them breath, that gives them every good gift, even when they misuse those gifts to continue to rebel against him. Anyone, heterosexual, homosexual, transgender, bisexual, pedophile, incestuous person, I don't care what terms you want to use, it doesn't matter. Anyone who exits this life in rebellion against the God who has given them so much, and yet calls them to repentance and faith toward him through Jesus Christ, will experience eternal separation from him. Doesn't matter what names you want to put on it. And that includes me or you. So, pretending to be transgender, because I don't believe there is such a thing. Bruce Jenner will never have PMS. Bruce Jenner will never give birth to a child. Bruce Jenner will never nurse a child. Bruce Jenner is not a woman. My wife is a woman. Bruce Jenner will never be what my wife has been her entire life. And I am offended that anyone would compare him to her. Okay? Now, I believe that that's the only sane, rational position to take. And the fact that your side seems to be intent simply upon shouting it down rather than demonstrating, oh no, it's a morally good, honorable, virtuous thing. Show me the virtue, Sam, in being a 65-year-old grandfather who does to his body what Bruce Jenner has done to his body. Show me the virtue in that. Because see, for you, the greatest virtue is happiness. Well, he's more happy. Well, I dispute that, but would you care to attempt to make a meaningful argument? Showing some knowledge, at least a little knowledge, of the discussion that mankind has been engaged in for millennia about the relationship of happiness, joy, fulfillment, virtue, duty, honor, the things that make us humans rather than just animals. And maybe that's the problem, because you probably just think we are just animals. Which is why this generation has decided that it's so much smarter than all these generations beforehand that actually sat around and had meaningful, long discussions about these things and wrote big, long books about them. I don't know, Sam. Please don't take this too strong. But I don't think you've ever read Tickerow. I really don't think so. I don't think you've ever even familiarized yourself with any of the Roman writers on the subject or the Greek philosophers or anything along those. I just don't get that feeling. I really don't. Some of you are going, it's not Cicero, it's Cicero. Depends on what Latin class you took, huh? Anyway.
You're a transgender. You're going to go down in flames.
He's playing God by telling us that. Like, but by telling us that.
He's playing God by telling us that. Now we move over to Erica in the leopard print. I think my wife would like the leopard print, actually. I don't think she'd like what she's saying, but she'd like the leopard print. That's a nice freeze frame there. yeah. we move over to Erica, and I'm playing God by, well, allegedly saying what Sam said I said, which I didn't say. But here you hear the irrational detestation on the part of the world of the idea that God has spoken. I'm playing God. No, I'm simply telling you God has spoken. And in fact, of course, the fellow I was quoting was someone named Jesus. And he wasn't playing God, he actually was God. he said that no one takes my life from me, I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received my Father. He rose again the third day from the dead. And so, you know, you can deal with all those things, but the reality is that I'm not playing God. In fact, if you actually were to think through this and I were to have the opportunity of dialoguing with you, you're the one playing God. Yeah, you are. Well, what do you mean? I recognize that I am insufficient to be the center of my worldview. I'm insufficient for that. I'm not omniscient. I'm not infallible. I am a mere creature. And so in my worldview, Erica, I recognize that I am a creature, God is in the center, and therefore for me to have true knowledge of anything else, I have to first relate to God and then through God to anything else, whether it's history, ethics, morals, whatever it is, I have to go through God because only He is sufficient to consistently hold all this together because He made all these things. You put yourself in the center and you put God out here someplace. So you actually are putting yourself into the position that only God can fulfill. So the reality is, Erica, though you don't know it because evidently you've never been challenged to think it through, you are playing God. You are playing God to tell me that I can't rely upon what God has said in His Word. I cannot rely upon what God has said in Jesus Christ. You, in fact, are taking the position of God, not me. It would be nice to talk about it, Erica.
They had to believe that this is the way God is. Every person, especially in the United States, we have the ability to decide what it is we believe.
Ah, yes. In here. Yeah. That Constitution gives us the right to edit God. There you go. There you go. Wow. Such arrogant hubris. That's the only description for this. Is arrogant hubris. Now, what you think you're saying is that we don't have a state church to force us to believe X, Y, and Z. Well, that's right. We do not have a state church to force us to believe X, Y, or Z. But if you can't see the category distinction between that factual statement and how you're applying it, as if I'm trying to establish a state church, you didn't get a good education, ma'am. You may have a master's degree in psychotherapy, but you didn't get a good education if you were not taught to think with a little more clarity than that. He's playing God because here in the United States, we have the right to determine what we're going to believe. So United States citizens have the right to come up with their own God. What if God has spoken? May I suggest, Erica, that if God has spoken, it doesn't matter where you live. If God has revealed Himself, it doesn't matter what's on your passport. Are you going to stand before God someday, Erica, and say, but the 14th Amendment says? Once again, it doesn't matter what your nationality is. If the tomb is empty, why aren't you listening to the guy who got out of the tomb? Who conquered death? Why aren't you listening? You can't be neutral about him, Erica. You can't be neutral about him. You can't say, well, that's just your view. No, it's not just my view. The Word of God has been preserved for us and tells us what He said and what He did. And whether you like it or not, someday you are going to be held accountable for what He said in His Word. And all of the liberal pundits and all of the unbelievers who have helped you to avoid dealing with that are going to be in the same boat you are in, answering for the same thing before the same judge. And they will be of no assistance or help to you then. Passport, got it.
And I just think that, like, in yeah, so that's
I have a problem with people in
and that's all. Couldn't I feel sorry, Erica, when you completely exhaust the depth of what you're saying in two sentences. I know that's the society you live in. I know that's the radio, television thing where you're supposed to say something really quick, get the audience response, and then move on so you don't actually have to expand upon it. I got it. It's tough, but it's sad. I'm going to back this up just a little bit because he started to say something there.
I think that, like, in yeah, so that's
I have a problem with people imposing their beliefs on other people.
Really? Dr. Drew, isn't that what you were doing to me? Isn't that exactly what you're doing to me? By limiting what I can say, cutting me off, not allowing interaction, and then by demanding that I accept the worldview that underlies your thing, aren't you saying to us that we need to accept what you have to say? I mean, at least I have a rational basis for saying that you need to accept what God has to say. Not what I have to say, what God has to say. Because, well, he made you. And every beat of your heart and every breath of your mouth comes from him. He's holding together every atom and molecule of your body. Every bit of that complex biochemical system that keeps you alive. All the glycolysis and the Krebs cycle, electron chain transport. Yeah, believe it or not, Christians study science too. All that stuff, guess what? It was designed. It didn't just happen. That kind of statement from your perspective demonstrates you've not thought through ultimate authorities. And look, the way that the educational system has been so thoroughly corrupted over the past number of decades, it is quite possible that you are an educated man who has never been challenged, even in your days. I mean, you're not, you know, we're probably close to the same age. But as long as you go to the right kind of schools, you could have gone all the way through and never been seriously challenged. And in the bubble you live in now, my goodness, where in the media circus of modern America, not like you're going to be running into folks who are challenging you to really think seriously about certain things.
Boy, I wouldn't want somebody to impose a religious restrictions on
him.
But
there's certain issues, and we've talked about them on your show many times, that when they have the religious thing to it, people go crazy, like end of life, abortion, and now this.
But why do they have to...
Now catch that. End of life, so euthanasia, abortion, beginning of life, and transgenderism are three things she just mentioned. And when they have the religious thing. Is that what she said? Religious thing? The religious thing. Okay, well, I guess Brooklyn College, I think it's where she went, has very specific terminology. The religious thing. They go crazy. They go crazy. So if you disagree with the pop psychologist hipster lady, you're crazy. They go crazy. Well, isn't it just pretty easy for me to sit there and go, well, this is crazy. Well, if that's the depth of the conversation we're going to have, why bother? But they go crazy. I guess what you mean is that you maybe just for a second there recognized that there is a substantial clash or conflict of worldviews. Wow, that's what I was trying to get you to. All right, we're getting closer. You call it crazy, but all that is a very surface level, childish, immature recognition on your part that, wow, they come to different conclusions because they're operating on a different worldview. There it is. So if we can get you past the, oh, that's just weird type of response, then maybe we can have a meaningful conversation about the differences of worldview, and that's when you'll discover that your worldview is utterly incoherent, self-contradictory. Once you have a consistent worldview to compare it to, then you'll see that yours is just, woo, all over the place in comparison to the consistent worldview that would actually explain why human beings are the way they are. See? That's how that works.
Why can't it be understood within the context of currently available scientific wisdom?
Right.
Why can't? Because we're clinicians, right, and we're looking at this from this clinical perspective. And
we're clinicians, really. We're clinicians. Dr. Drew, question: If you took a blood sample from Bruce Jenner and analyzed it and looked at the DNA of the blood sample, would it indicate a male or a female? As a clinician, you live, Dr. Drew, in a day where we have more incontrovertible evidence of the unique human nature of every unborn child than any generation before us. So as a clinician, you oppose abortion, right? Right, Dr. Drew? Right, Erica? You're clinicians. You just go with the scientific facts, don't you? Yeah. Okay.
Cut that conversation out.
But that's where there's fear. That's why I said that to him. He's like scared. It is almost like it's if his, I hate to say it, but.
Fear. There's fear. Which is why we're open about discussing this, and we want to have debate, and we want to give fair time to both sides, and you don't is because we're afraid. That's called projection, Erica. That's called projection. That's where you're the one who is actually afraid, but to cover your fear, you project that upon the other individual. Maybe they didn't cover this in your Master of Arts degree in psychotherapy, but that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. And now we're about to get a real interesting section.
Almost something about when you're too religious, it's like a form of insanity. And
there is such a thing as...
It's like when you're too religious, it's a form of insanity. So, yeah, is that the clinician speaking? Is this a formal psychoanalysis of me as insane? You know, we can sit here and chuckle because it's so obvious that the poor young lady has no idea what she's talking about. I mean, here is the essence of the American educational system. No meaningful liberal arts background, no knowledge of the discussion that mankind has had over all of these years in regards to ethics and morality and philosophy and any of these things. Just complete, blissful, leopard-spotted ignorance. You know? We almost have to feel sorry for the poor young lady that she has been deprived of a meaningful education and hence is speaking from such abject ignorance. But before we get too sorry for her, I said it before, I'll say it again. Every single person on this program would vote in a nanosecond to have my civil liberties removed for saying what I say, even in their ignorance. And the worst part is, that's the kind of person who might be used by the government to analyze Christians to see where they should be put away.
Wasn't that part of the Soviet solution?
Oh, yeah. See, once you got totalitarian governments, these people are given the power because they're puppets. They, since they're not reflective, they don't ask questions. They just go with the flow. Then they'll accept what they're told, and the result is, wow. Think about it. How would you like to have her as the court-appointed psychotherapist to determine whether you need treatment? Could never happen, right? You sure? I mentioned a couple years ago, briefly on the Dividing Line, when I came back from my second trip to teach in Berlin, that on one of the days we went and visited the Stasi prison. The Stasi prison is a prison that existed in East Germany for political prisoners during the East German years under communist rule and dominion. And obviously, it was an extremely sobering thing. But what you must understand, is that these people don't realize that the worldview they've embraced has no meaningful moral difference from the worldview of the people who tormented individuals in that Stasi prison. There's no meaningful difference. There's no meaningful difference. The revolution has happened, and we lost. We lost the war. The wall may have fallen down, but that doesn't mean we won the war. And that kind of, this woman just said that I'm insane. On the basis of less than 2 minutes of conversation and her unmitigated arrogant ignorance and willingness to project onto me her thoughts, feelings, emotions, and very, very, very poorly formed worldview. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. And I'm only a minute and 51 in.
It's abuse, but let's not go there.
Okay, but I want to respect, here's the thing.
Did you catch that? Let's not go there. Thank you, Dr. Drew. Let's not go there. She already did. Remember, Dr. Drew, during the program at one point, I did hear this one. You said this is a secular nation. What did you mean by that? What did you mean by that? Are you admitting that secularism is now the established state religion? So you're okay now with an established state religion of secularism? Are you ready to defend the validity of the secular worldview and to demonstrate its internal coherence versus the Christian worldview? I appreciate you saying let's not go there. But if you really didn't want to go there, then why have the conversation, or why not do what you could have done to actually have the conversation? Maybe it's outside of your hands. I don't know. Maybe your name's on it, but you don't really have control. I don't know.
Respect his beliefs, but what I don't respect is when he's telling a community that you're going to go down in flames, because that is what is causing
the hatred.
Right. That's causing the hatred. That's causing the statistic of suicide within that community to skyrocket.
Okay, so there you go. The standard common, if you say. Now again, she doesn't understand. Maybe she does, and she's perverting. I don't know. I don't know what her background is. But as I said, the Christian message is that it's not just homosexuals or people who mutilate their bodies, pretend to be a gender they're not, or whatever else it is. It's all of us. Every single one of us abide under the wrath of God. That's what Jesus said. You simply have to say, I don't like Jesus. Jesus said those words. Everyone who does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God abides under the wrath of God. Look it up. Read it. John chapter 3, Jesus and Nicodemus have this little conversation. Now, maybe that section is John explaining Jesus' teaching. Maybe it's red letter. Maybe it's not. The point is, it's scriptural. And the point is, Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. You may not like that. That's the reality. Deal with it. So, again, this is simply the human being who is in rebellion against God, rejecting what the gospel has to say. And Jesus said that's exactly what would happen. You have right here in 3 minutes the expression of the human heart, exactly as Paul said we should expect it in Romans chapter 1. Exactly as Paul said we should expect it in Romans chapter 1. And I didn't even have to be there. In fact, they didn't even have to interact with anything I actually said. So far, they haven't. All they've interacted with is what they expected me to say, not what I actually said, which is a fascinating thing to consider.
But this guy is that I see a fear in him. He doesn't need to have that fear that if other people do whatever to live their life happily, that his life is going to come crashing down.
To live their life happily. Happy, happy, happy. You see, Erica, in the good old days, back when I was young, we lived in a land where it was understood that when you were a mature human being, that very often you had to do things that did not make you happy because they were the right things to do. People were willing to work a 12-hour day, not because it made them happy, but because it was the right thing to do to provide for their family. The quote-unquote greatest generation stormed the beaches of Normandy, stormed the beaches of Okinawa and Iwo Jima, not because it made them happy, but because it was necessary to do to guarantee the future of their children and their children's children. You see, we actually thought about the generations that would come after us. We actually thought of ourselves as part of a grand scheme, and that we had a responsibility to do what was best for those who would come after us. We weren't just concerned about ourselves and our personal feelings. But see, that's the difference between you and I. Is I come from a different generation. My suggestion to you, Erica, is that your generation stinks because it's self-centered and doesn't care about the next generation or the next generation after that, but simply cares about itself. And the result will be tragedy. The result will not be happiness for anybody. And besides that, may I suggest one other thing? That kind of surface level, I've got my 401k and my iPod happiness, is not actually happiness. There is a joy that one gets from being a virtuous person that the happy, happy person never understands. Never understands. By the way, Erica, I'm thankful that there are people in your generation that know better than you do. I refer, when I say stinks, only to those who have closed their minds in biased bigotry to any challenge to their self-centered autonomy. That generation will be the undoing of us all. And you know why I'm not happy about it? Because I'm a grandfather. And your attitude will diminish the possibilities of being a virtuous and good woman for my granddaughter. And I'm not happy about that. We've still got 58 seconds to go, and I'm almost out of time here. This is ridiculous.
But he's saying now, but he has a belief system.
The worldview thing. He
kept right, saying. That the world will unravel and the world will end in a bad place if we don't do this.
Keep things in
think things consistent to his interpretation
right.
of what Jesus' vision was. What about people who don't have Jesus in their life? What about people who are atheists? What about people who are Jewish?
This has been changing.
Dr. Drew, if Jesus was who he claimed to be, remember I mentioned that rising from the dead thing? Does human autonomy have anything to do with what he had to say? If he really was God in human flesh, if he rose from the dead and he said, this is the way of life, then, wow, what Christians have been saying all along is actually true, right? That you need to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. That is the message of the New Testament, Dr. Drew, and it's true even for you. You will find your true life, and you will find peace with God only in and when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
So many times.
Yeah, so what about Christians that don't share his rigid view?
We just all come from a place of love and tolerance, and we would be such a more united and evolved group of people.
Love and tolerance, we'd all be such a united and evolved. This kind of vacuous platitude, that's what it is, it's a platitude. What do you mean by that? If everyone trusted what Jesus said, we would be all united, not evolved. We'd be united under our Creator. That would be a wonderful thing. So let's all do that. Why won't you do that? You see, you use this term loving, not in the way that Jesus defined it, but in a way you've defined it that has no meaning whatsoever. I need to try to finish this up.
I think Sam is right. I think that it is a time when we really think more about, get a more evolved concept about love and flourishing, but it's also a time for leadership. So I'm here to tell everybody, let's get together on this. We need to get behind people. You can get behind anybody you want, but people that say, talk, give you messages of unity. We need unity, everybody. We don't have to be divisive. Think about that, and let us know what you think. Do you agree with us?
Unity. I can't help but once again see the posters of Big Brother. Let's all be united. Let's all get together. Let's speak with one language. Unity. Let's not actually have any meaningful discussion about where we're going. Let's just mindlessly follow the culture. But let's be united in our mindlessly following the culture. And all of this was prompted by a 65-year-old former Olympian grandfather who emasculated himself and now wears a dress. All to be happy. Didn't seem to think about his kids. Of course, his family is pretty messed up already, sadly. Didn't seem to think about his grandchildren. Didn't seem to think about his legacy. I wonder what the Russian he defeated in the Olympics is thinking today. Thought about that? I thought about that from the start. I mean, is the Russian he defeated today going, I guess it's my gold medal now because there is no Bruce Jenner? I mean, who won the gold medal? Was it Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner? Ah, the questions that we end up faced with when we reject the worldview provided by God in the scriptures, which is the only worldview that makes sense of the world we live in, because God made the world we live in. Because God world. I did not think, I figured a 3-minute video would take about 15 minutes to respond to. But it took the entire hour. Thanks for listening. I'll get back to NGM Chowdhury next time around. But thanks for listening. Hope it was useful. We'll see you. God bless.